Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Lingham guides us through the New Testament book of Romans. Now to Pastor Chris.
Romans 12, at long last. I love Romans 12. Fighting off a cold, so I apologize if my voice is funny, but Romans 12 is how to live it. I don't know if you noticed, but the first 11 chapters didn't tell us to do anything. They gave us lots to know, and a whole lot that Jesus did for us, but nothing at all for us to do. And that's the gospel. Jesus paid it all. But now, chapter 12 begins. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, when you see therefore in the Bible, it means that what you're about to read is based on what you just read. Do not separate them. Here's the thing. Romans 12 is a radical, beautiful way to live. Transformed life, serving others above self, genuine love, and overcoming evil with good. People who live this way are amazing, but it doesn't work if you skip the gospel. Your attempt to live right looks like Romans 7. You think you can do these things, but you just can't, Nemo. But, saved by grace and powered by the Spirit, God has one phenomenal lifestyle for you. The key phrase in verse 1, in view of God's mercy. Keep your eyes fixed on the truth that Jesus saved you. Chapter 11 just closed in awe that God starts it all. You cannot give God anything that he didn't give you first. All of Christian life is response. Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect one, died for you, loved you at your worst. You believe and God calls you righteous, right with God by faith. You did nothing. Then, and only then, and powered by the Spirit, you live righteous in response. So how do you respond to that kind of love? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. A living sacrifice, your life for Him, your whole body, all of you. Holy means set apart. Do not live like the world. That's worship. The way you live your life for God is worship. In verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Conform means to fit a mold, like a cookie cutter. The world has 1,000 cookie cutters for you, from hipster to business casual to punk rocker. But every one of them is an attempt to change from the outside in. The Greek word here means taking an outward expression that doesn't come from within, but a copy of someone else. In other words, faking it. Christian, don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform literally means changing the outer expression to one that represents the inner being. Change from the inside out to represent the real you. See, even clean-cut churchgoer can be a cookie cutter, but you cannot conform your way into the image of God. It has to be transformation. Style and fashion are fine, but they can't define you. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. You think different. That happens by the Spirit and through the Word. And there's a bonus to living this way. Verse 2 says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. This is how we learn God's will, His plan and direction. It comes in the midst of living sacrifice and transformation. And then Paul begins to lay out this new life. First, your self-image. Verse 3. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Paul calls for an honest and sober assessment of self. No beer goggles when you look in the mirror. No arrogance. You're not better than anyone. But don't put yourself down either. You are God's handiwork. Don't put it down. What you need is faith goggles. See yourself how God sees you, strong and weak, skilled and challenged. All you have is from God and for others. And you do have skills, awesome skills, but God didn't give you those to look good. He gave them for you to serve others. His gifts aren't to you, they're through you, and you can't take credit for a gift. Paul compares us to a body, lots of body parts, all working together in unity. Verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I love this picture. Body parts don't fight each other. They work together. And no one is more important. Jesus is the head, and the rest of us follow. And Paul says, whatever your gift is, use it. Use it to serve others. He lists a few, and all of them are important. Prophecy and teaching. These guys are like the nervous system, carrying signals from the head, keeping us moving with direction. Encouragers are like the respiratory system, bringing the oxygen that keeps us grooving with energy. Givers are like the digestive system, a power source. See, missionaries are beautiful feet, working hard in the dirt, but feet need oxygen and nutrients to work. Encouragers and givers, do your work. Christians with money, your stomach, a distribution center. The food's not all for you. The feet are working hard. Send nutrients. Whatever your gift, use it. Church is not a spectator sport. If 80% of the church walks in and out without using their gifts, restructure. If all the real ministry is done by pastors, they will wear out, while the rest wonder if God even has a use for them. We need every gift in action. What comes next is so beautiful, I want to hang it on the wall. This is Christian living. Verse 9. Love must be sincere. That means real, genuine. The world puts on love like makeup. Jesus calls for the real thing. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The truest sign of Christian love is others above self. In verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Man, serve God with passion. Live out loud, heart and soul. Dispassionate Christianity is an oxymoron. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. I love that. Associate with the lowly. That doesn't just mean feed the homeless. It means be among them. Homeless people shouldn't just be a people that you reach out to. They should become part of your church family. Use their gifts. Serve alongside. Do not be conceited. Now, all of that sounds awesome. But what about bad people? Being good sounds easy until bad people mess it up. Hey, it will happen. So in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. See, there's a raging battle between good and evil, but you can never defeat evil by returning fire. If someone wrongs you, evil already defeated them. If you take revenge, evil defeats you both. Let God avenge, let him repay, and he will. But for you, verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In other words, you can destroy your enemies by making them your friends. Evil loses. Verse 21 sums it up. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Guys, we are more than conquerors. Jesus already won this battle. He overcame the world with good, and he freed you up to walk away from the evil. Read Romans 12. It's so good. This is Christian life. Back in verse 3, the words true and proper are the Greek word logikos, as in logical conclusion. It makes sense. Jesus died for you. You live for him. And it looks like Romans 12. But beware of twisted theological logic. Did you hear about the logical man who chose half an egg over heaven? Well, he figured nothing is better than heaven, and half an egg is better than nothing. So, listen, if your logic takes the gospel to something that doesn't look like Romans 12, any pride and arrogance, any God is for us and against you, you got the wrong conclusion. If your doctrine makes you arrogant, your logic took a bad turn somewhere. The only logical response to the gospel is humble, genuine, selfless love.
Thanks for joining us for today's quick audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.